I'm not pulling out of my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for the Drive to Work Coronavirus Edition. So I've been doing this thing recently where I'm getting together with designers and talking about sets that we worked on. So today I have Bill Rose, and we're going to talk about Invasion. So hey, Bill.
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
Okay, so this is going way back. Show how old we are.
How many years?
So Invasion came out in 2000, I believe. So this is over 20 years ago we worked on it. It came out 20 years ago. Actually, it came out over 20 years ago. So, wow. Okay, so what is your earliest memory? Like, what, you were the impetus for this happening. So what got you to pitch Invasion in the first place?
I mean, Invasion to me is I've always, always been a fan of multicolor magic from like the get-go, from the earliest designs. And I've loved multicolor creatures, the spells, the lands, and I just wanted to commit to a full set of multicolor cards. Like that it's really that simple. Like magic at the time didn't have enough multicolor for me.
Yeah, I mean, something I should explain. I mean, you and I know this, but once upon a time, we would like withhold multicolor, and so whole sets would have no multicolor.
It was like we were like, you know, we're going to withhold food from you so that you appreciate food more. I mean, it was kind of ridiculous, but like, we didn't know back then. Yeah, but I mean, we had people who were like always uncertain about multicolor, right? Like there was more of a divide, if I can recall, in R&D, of people who liked it and people who didn't.
Yeah, you and I liked it. I know that.
Thinking back, yeah. Like, there's so much that we did back then that just doesn't make any sense by today's
standards. Yeah, well, what did we know?
Like,
we were.
It was really like the Middle Ages of TCG design.
Yeah. Okay, so block design had started with Mirage. That was really sort of the first modern block. I mean, block as we think of them. I mean, Ice Age kind of retroactively kind of did one, but Mirage was the first time we sort of meant for it to be a block, right?
Correct. Mirage started design outside of the block concept, but when we finished design, we already had worked on Invasion, and we had created the block concept.
Right.
So it was designed to be altered.
So Invasion was, I think the premise was we started was, it's going to be the first multicolor block. We did not have a multicolor block.
Right.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Spectral Chaos. So what do you know about Spectral Chaos?
Spectral Chaos, Barry Reich's set. Yeah, I mean, it was a submission. Barry was one of the my understanding is he is the first person to play a form of magic with Richard. I mean, it was way different. There was one deck, but, you know, Barry, in my mind, is the first person to play the game with Richard Garfield.
Okay, so what happened was the early playtesters all broke off and made sets. So you and Joel and Charlie and a bunch of others made Mirage, Menagerie, right, at the time. And then Scaff, yeah, and Jim and Dave and Chris made Ice Age. Barry went off on his own. So what do you know of Barry's venture?
So he went off on his own, and he, like me, liked multicolor. You know, this is where, what's the mechanic where all, domain.
Domain, yeah.
He was the creator of domain, and that was one of the mechanics. I fell in love with domain the moment I saw it.
Yeah,
I can't remember specific cards from Spectral Chaos. Mm-hmm. I mean, it had a lot of, it had too much. I'll say like that. It had like, it did have too much chaos. but when I saw Domain, I was just like, this is beautiful. Like, this is beautiful design.
And so Domain, that was the one main thing we took from Spectral Chaos. We called it Barry's Mechanic for a long, long time.
Remember we had Barry's land that at the time they told me we couldn't do. It was like a non-basic land that produced colorless mana that counted as a basic land. And people were like, oh my God, it'll break magic. I was like, I wish we had that back in the day. That's one of That's the, I guess, my biggest regret from Invasion is that I didn't force that thing through.
Did make Barry's Land happen? Okay, so we the idea was we looked at Spectral Chaos. We took some things from it. Most of the biggest thing we took was Barry's mechanic. It was Domain. And then, yeah. Okay, so here's my earliest memories. I mean, you asked me and Mike Elliott to be on the team. And yeah. Then our first week of design was?
At your dad's place.
In my dad's house, yes. My dad's house in Tahoe.
Yeah, it was so chaotic back then where we were doing so much that it was really hard to find time to, like, work on the future. And we just, like, it was crazy back then. We're like, let's go off in the middle of the winter to your dad's ski cabin and we'll work. We actually did work. We skied some and we worked some.
Yeah, we did.
Like, it was a really good time. It was crazy. Like, we just, like, would design for hours and hours and hours at a time.
Yeah, no, I remember it. It's
like putting the set together. And I will say, between you, me, and Mike Elliott, there were three egos in that room.
Yeah.
It was great. I mean, I just really have a fond memory of debating everything and debating the cards. And, like, everybody was on board with multicolor and everybody was pitching their own ideas. I mean, it was a really fun time.
Okay.
So
I'm going to talk about one of the ideas I pitched.
Okay.
So I had made, we had made Unglued. Then we made the second Unglued that didn't happen. But there's a mechanic in that I really liked that I pitched to you, which are split cards.
So
talk a little bit. I want to care. I mean, I've told the story from my perspective. What is your story of me pitching you split cards? What is your story?
Right. So I'll say this. Like, split cards are something where you 100% designed split cards. I see myself as the split card champion. Like, you designed split cards and, like, half the company just attacked you. I don't know why. And I was like, Mark, like Domain, I saw the split card day one and I was like, this is it. We have to publish it. And then I just started banging on people. I remember, and oh my God, the brand team hated it. R&D hated it. It was funny. I remember one time talking with Joel Mick, like a year later, and I just said, because Joel at the time was, he's a very good friend of mine now, and somebody who designed Mirage with me. We were friends before we started working on Magic together. And he was the vice president of marketing at the Magic brand marketing at the time. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, I was able to say to Joel, like, I know I was fighting with some, everybody loves them now that they're published, but I remember I was fighting with a lot of people, but nobody will admit they were fighting with me now. So I just, you know, it was one of those things that it was just like so out of the box. And then people were arguing, oh, Invasion has too much. But, you know, it was so clean. It was so classic. I knew it, like, as soon as it was presented. And I'll say, Mike came around pretty quickly. Mike at first was like, but then he was supportive. The person who wasn't was Henry Stern.
Oh, yeah.
Henry did not like split cards. And at the time, of course, I'm Henry's boss.
Right, Henry was the lead. He was the lead developer of the set.
He was the lead developer, right?
Right.
And for everybody, like, we definitely, like, even to this day, we have designers and we have developers, and the designers can't tell the developers what to do. Like, you hand over the set, and it's like, you know, you hand over your baby, and you have no more say. You can lobby them. So I went to Henry, who absolutely hated them. And I said, Henry, you must keep them in for a month. And it's like, after a month, we'll talk. And he was not happy. But it was like, I rarely used my power and ordered people to do something. But I remember, like, I ordered him. I was like, you will play test these for a month. And then, like, a month later, Henry was like, yeah, we love these. So, no, I do remember. That was one of the, I had... I had forgotten the association of split cards with Invasion. Yes. But as soon as you said split cards, yes, I remember those things.
Okay. Here's another mechanic that I believe you create. I mean, I think it was your brainchild, Kicker. So yeah. Where did Kicker come from? Invasion Premier Kicker. That was the first set that had Kicker in it.
Yeah. You know, for me, it's just, I can't say exactly, but I just, it allowed, So Kicker is a term from Cosmic Encounters.
Okay.
I don't know if people played the game, but you would play a kicker and it would just like, it would double the value of your card. Like, so I would play a kicker and it would increase the value of my combat card.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking like, okay, well, like we have magic cards. Like, how do I increase the value of the card? Like, I want to be able to pay more and increase the value. And the original kicker idea was just simply not giving you something additional, just magnifying, like 3 damage, kick to 5 damage, draw a card, kick to draw 2 cards. And then we of course, it evolved afterwards. But that was just the simple thing of like sort of being able to, you know, have your, you know, I've always loved multicolor. And I've always been more somewhat of a Timmy player. Like, I love the big creatures. But I'm enough of a gamer that I just know, like, you're going to lose if you just stick your deck full of big creatures. So I love, you know, the idea of you can have this playable creature for early in the game and be very competitive and then have something that you can drop your mana into later in the game. It really makes it good. I will say personally, I fall into the trap that I'm like 1 mana short of being able to cast my creature with a kicker, so I wait to draw land, which I know is just a total mistake. And it lets the Pro Tour players in the group laugh at me, but I just can't help myself. It feels so good to play a card that's kicked.
So here's something interesting that I really appreciate about Invasion was how we had a whole philosophy behind Kicker. Remember this? Of whether it was in color or off color and...
Yeah, I sort of do, but I don't. Like, I remember more of people demanding a philosophy, and I was just like, I just want Kicker. And like, yeah, all right, the philosophy works with what we want to produce, so have your philosophy, I don't care.
Yeah, but the thing that we did was in color meant you could get bigger. So instead of 2, you could do 4. But if you wanted to add another ability, we made you go to a second color to get the second ability.
Yeah, I mean, that intuitively makes sense to me because, like, you don't need another color to do what you can already do. Yeah. I know that we wanted to make sure that when we added another color that there was we weren't taking monocolor cards and just forcing you to use another color mana. Like, there was an advantage. There was some reason that you needed to pay or get an advantage for using your second color or your third color.
Okay, so here's... Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so here's a question, something that I'm curious to get your memory of.
All right.
Okay, so original Invasion actually didn't just have the ally colors. For a while, we had all 10.
Yes.
And then we ended up moving the enemy to Apocalypse. What is your memory of how that happened?
Well, I guess my memory is there were a group of people that were really, there were definitely people who just didn't want to do enemy color cards at all. So there was that group. I kind of remember there was a group that was against it. I remember playing it. It was too much. Like, I don't really remember, like, I remember at first, like, saying, like, no, we're not changing it. We're going to just keep everything there. But I remember playtesting the set and trying to get 10 colors in and having it work. It was just chaos. It was too much like Spectrum. It was just too chaotic. And that's when, I don't know, do you remember who had the idea to push it off to Apocalypse?
I do. I was thinking if you had a memory, it was two people actually.
Okay, I don't.
It was me and Henry Stern.
Okay. That, I mean, Henry make like that. That totally makes sense. I'll tell you, when we go back in the day, like there's some stuff like I can remember a lot what I did, mm-hmm. and I can remember stuff like this happened, and I know I didn't do it. And then sometimes I'll remember who did it, and sometimes I'll remember who didn't. So I just like. I know that I was being pushed. I know that after we played, I was like, I would agree, but I was not the person who was driving it.
Yeah, if I remember the story correctly, Henry and I, just independent of each other, we didn't discuss it, both came to you independently and pitched the idea. And then we realized the other one had pitched the idea to you, and so.
Yeah, no, and it made sense. And, right, it really, I mean, it made Apocalypse really good.
Yeah.
Apocalypse was an exciting set at the time.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I think in some ways, Invasion Block was the predate for like the planned block. Like later on, we did more block planning. That was kind of the first block planning we ever did, where like we saved something for later on the block.
I know. Like there were times where I remember. Yes. Well, it was Mirage, Tempest. Maybe it was Tempest. There was one of them where we just got to the third set and we were like, "What the hell are you going to do?" You know, it's like we didn't even plan. We just made the first set.
We're like, keep making, make more.
We'll just make more. Yeah, but I mean, I thought that. Yeah, it was a fun time. I will say, like, I remember like skiing during the day and then going back to your dad's place and then just like sitting, just going over cards and ideas in the file. To like the early hours of the morning. Like it was a really fun time, Mark.
Okay, so I'm going to pitch another mechanic. This one didn't have a name, but we called it the divvy mechanic.
The what?
The divvy mechanic, putting things in piles and choosing piles. Like Factor Fiction is probably the most famous of the divvy cards.
Yeah.
Do you remember where that came from?
Off the top, I think Joel was doing something with it.
I mean, I don't know where it came. I don't know where it came from. That's what I'm asking you. I don't remember where it came from.
I know that I did not create it.
Yeah, I didn't create it.
I associated my, and I could be wrong. Somebody else could have created it, and I could have found it through Joel. But I think Joel did that.
Okay,
and
I'm honestly interested. I didn't know. I didn't remember who made that.
You know what? If a former designer is listening to this podcast and I'm wrong, I apologize. But that's like off the top of my head. I haven't thought about it in years.
I can imagine like Mike Elliott going, "I made them."
You know what? Like if Mike made it, I wouldn't have been surprised. Like
yeah, I know Mike could have easily made them. Obviously,
yeah. I mean, it's a really good mechanic.
Yeah.
You know, it's the way that both of them kind of like. It's the type of mechanic that they both would think in that design space interests them. Yeah, and it was, you know, it was a nice splashy mechanic.
Yeah, it was a fun, it wasn't cycled or anything. It was kind of just sprinkled about the set and like.
Well, it was, you couldn't do a lot. Like it's one of those where I think that it was a more loved mechanic and a splashier mechanic. With just a few cards.
Yeah.
Like if we did 20 cards like it, it would have just been a pain in the ass.
Okay. So Bill, what is your name of card? So let's talk about some cards, making some cards. So
when you think
of Invasion,
give me some names of Invasion. I don't even
I'll
tell this for everything.
I'll give you some names of cards here.
One of the things that I like, one, I'm bad with names, and two, I would remember the playtest name. So even after a card was published, I would still refer to it by the playtest name. And then my friends who were not part of Magic would be, "What are you talking about?" And I'd be like, "It's card." And they'd be like, "There's no card like that." And it's like, "Oh, okay, now I'll give you the real name."
So I'm going to name just some famous cards. I'm going to do gold card just because the set's known for multicolor.
Yeah.
And we'll see if either you or I remember where the card came from. So, and I'll read the cards for the audience who might not know what the card is. So Armadillo Cloak, one green, white. It's an enchant creature. Enchant creature gets +2/+2 and has trample. Whenever enchant creature deals damage, you gain that much life. So it has something very similar to lifelink. Do you remember where Armadillo Cloak came from?
I don't. It's the type of design I could do, but I don't remember doing it. I do remember pushing on people of like, we enchantments are terrible. We just keep making terrible, terrible creature enchantments. And I want Invasion to have really good in creature. So it could be like, maybe I said, I want really good creature enchantments. And then you made Armadillo Clerk, because that's, that design cycle happened a lot.
Yeah, I think
like I would say,
I think I might have made Armadillo Clerk.
You would come back the next day and go like, here it is. And I'd be like, perfect.
Yeah, it seems
your memory.
It seems very much like, okay, I need a green-white aura. Well, what does green add to the picture? What does white add to the picture? Oh, yeah, that seems like it goes together.
So, like, Invasion, we were definitely trying to make creature auras good. Right? Like, is Invasion not, like, one of the first sets that just had good... I won't say across the board, but we had some good, you know...
Yeah.
Good creature auras.
Okay. Next. See if you remember this one. Fires of Yavimaya. One red and green. Enchantment. Creatures you control have haste. Sacrifice Fires of Yavimaya. Target creature gets +2/+2 until end of turn. You remember? So I know one thing about this card. It was a cycle. I know that. It was part of a cycle. This was the famous one. Like, this was the one that was good. But we had a whole cycle of enchantments that had a global effect, and then you could sack them to do something.
Right, and again, it was just like, if you destroy my enchantment, I got something to counter. Like, I don't... Yeah, that one I don't remember why we tried this cycle.
Yeah, I think we were just trying to do something cool.
Yes.
Okay, here's what...
There were times where we were, like, I remember being like... Some of our better cards, maybe even more... Or maybe were powerful cards, but maybe not better designs, where we were like... Yeah, we had... 4/5 of a cycle, and we were like, we need a common card that's a creature enchantment that's these two colors. We go and put it together.
Okay, here's one that I think this is you. Absorb. So it's white, blue, blue, counter target spell, you gain 3 life.
To be honest, I don't remember.
And there was a mirror, right? There's one where you gain 3 life, there's one where they lose 3 life.
Yes.
Well, I'll run across that in a second.
Yeah. Blue, blue, black. Yes, those kind of like.
I think that was your design, by the way. That's my memory of it.
It makes sense. I like the mirror designs. Like, if I could do like the add, we'll lose 3 life, we'll gain 3 life, back and forth. What was the blue black one
with
the
Undermine? It was called Undermine. Yeah, blue, blue, black. Counter target spells, control loses 3 life. It was a mirror. It was a straight up mirror.
Right.
Okay, do you remember the dragons? So the dragons are a cycle. So I'll read one of them. The Krosis the Purger. 3 generic, blue, black, red. It's a dragon legend. Flying, 6/6 flying. When Krosis the Purger deals combat damage to a player, you may pay 2 black. If you do, choose a color. That player reveals his hand and discards all cards of that color from it.
Yes.
Do you have any memory? So these are all 6/6 creatures. They all cost 6 mana, 3 generic and 3 of the appropriate color. They all flew, and then when they hit you, I think all of you spent 2 and a color to do some effect.
Yeah, we cycled them.
Yeah, we cycled them.
Because we wanted, and I remember there was one... like, at first, like, they were going to make the black, red, green dragon not fly, but we said no to that.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I do remember, like, we wanted dragons. We wanted to make sort of more expensive 3 colors so that your deck would work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, the CDE cards are fun to play with at times, but they're really hard to balance.
Okay, here's a weird one. Coalition Victory. 3 colorless, white, blue, black, red, green, sorcery. You win the game if you control a land of each basic land type and a creature of each color.
I believe that came from Spectral Chaos.
Did that come from Spectral Chaos?
I do believe that came from Spectral Chaos. Again, I'm not going to say I'm 100% certain, but I believe that came from Spectral Chaos.
Yeah, that's a good guess.
I don't know if you remember, like, I don't even, back in the day when we were designing Mirage and Ice Age, we always designed an anti card and we always designed an alternative victory card.
Okay.
So that was just kind of like, I don't even know where it came from. Maybe it was something that Richard had said, but Ice Age, Mirage, Spectral Chaos, they all had these cards. I believe Mirage is the last set that was published with an anti card.
Yeah, I think so. It was around then. Anti didn't last that long.
Huh?
Anti did not last that long.
No, but keep in mind, like, yeah. Spectral Chaos came in with an anti card.
I'm sure it did, right? Because it was an earlier set. Right.
But it also came in with an alternative win condition.
So this is a story I'll tell just because. So these are two popular cards: Captain Sisse and Hand and Ship Navigator. Captain Sisse is 2GW for a 2/2 legendary creature. Tap, search your library for a legend or legendary card. Reveal that card, put it in your hand, and then shuffle your library. And Hannah was Hand and Ship Navigator, 1WB, 1/2 legendary creature, 1WB, tap, return target artifact or enchantment card from your graveyard to your hand. I made both of these cards. The reason they're in this set is we were trying to do all the Weatherlight crew, and I felt these two characters were multicolored, so I saved them for the multicolor set, so we didn't do them earlier. Like, obviously, Tempest introduced the Weatherlight crew. We were doing the crew right all along the times. And Captain Sisse was just a top-down. She's the people that gathered together all the people for the crew, so I like the idea of her searching for a legend. And Hannah, Ship's Navigator, there was a card in Antiquities that got you back, or Giving Archaeologist, that got you back an artifact, and I loved that card. And I said, I'm gonna make a new Giving Archaeologist, and then, we'll add in enchantments, why not? And so that was just me remaking a card I loved and putting it on Hannah, because I like the character of Hannah a lot, so.
Cool. Yes, I remember you adding a lot. You and Mike Ryan, I think, were writing the story at the time.
We were at that point. We were no longer doing the story, but we had created the story once upon a time. So
okay.
Let's talk about this a little bit. So the story of the invasion, like when we made the set, we had no idea what story. Like, we weren't trying to make a set that was the invasion set, right?
Right. Yeah, we were making a multicolor set. Back then, it's like we were in the dark ages. We, like, made the set, and then we made the story, and then we tried to make the match.
Yeah, right. The set was not made at all with that in mind.
It was made to be multicolor and fun, just like, you know, standard Magic.
I see.
It's not today's technology, that's for sure.
Well, it was an earlier time.
No, as I said, it was, you know, it was cutting technology for the moment.
Yeah, I mean, like, you look back at the Model T and, like, hey, it was pretty impressive when the Model T came out.
It was, like, Invasion was state of the art for 2000.
So what is your memory of it coming out? What is your memory of Invasion? Like, what do you remember of seeing the public interact with it?
I just remember it came out, was very positive. You know, I do remember if there was any grumblings, there was a little bit of grumbling on the Pro Tour because of the mana base, and it made things a little bit more random. But the general Magic fan was very, very happy with it.
Yeah, it's funny looking back. Like, we really didn't understand mana base. Like, this set does not do the greatest job of giving the mana base you need to play it.
One of my pure joys in playtesting was to play, like we would do a draft, mm-hmm. And to play a 5-color deck, and, like, on turn 6 to have a basic land of each color and to be casting a domain spell. And to our player on the other side would just be, want to strangle me.
Yeah,
but, you know, for every story that works out,
right.
I drew 3 swamps and an island, and I have a handful of red and white cards.
So I'm almost to my desk here. So as we wrap up, any final thoughts of Invasion? You know, I mean, on the 20 plus years later.
No, I think that Invasion really, I don't know that we're going to go back or, you know, do Invasion 2, but I think it had a lot of positive influences on Magic and on what we did with Multicolor. Like, I think it just, it opened another door. And like now, that Multicolor is just part of Magic. I mean, can you imagine Commander without Multicolor? Like, it would be terrible. Right? It's just, I look back on it and it's one of the Invasion is one of the building blocks of Magic. I think, you know, when I look back at the sets in the early days, if a block didn't exist, how different would Magic be? Mm-hmm. And some blocks had a lot of impact and some blocks didn't. And Invasion's one where if Invasion didn't exist, Magic would be very different today.
Yeah, and I agree.
Multicolor kicker.
Yeah.
Split cards and everything else, like double face cards, sagas, like, are they split cards? Well, not exactly, but I think split cards in my mind, like, unlocked the ability to think in that direction. So there was a lot of just a lot of positives with Invasion.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's certain sets that really sort of touchstone sets that really like a lot built off them. And I agree. Yeah. I think Invasion is one of those sets.
Interesting at the time because we had all worked together and worked apart, and we had all like led our own sets at different times. And I think it was the one time like, is this the only set that you, me, and Mike worked on together really as leads?
For sure, it's the only one the three of us alone did. I don't think the three of us even were on another team together. I mean, other than there were some sets maybe that lots of people were on that all of us were on at some point.
Yeah. But, I mean, everybody worked on everything, and I was like, you know, at some point I was like overseeing all sets. But yeah, I mean, Invasion it's funny. It's like from the early days, the big three, like you, me, and Mike got together.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me go back in hindsight of like, why didn't we ever do that again?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, we were all like off leading stuff and doing things. So yeah, it was good times. Good times, good set, good memories.
Okay. Well, with that, I'm now at my desk. So we all know what that means. It means it's the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. So thank you, Bill, for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mark.
To be honest, I have so much fun just talking all the time with people, so it's just a lot of fun.
It is fun. It's so much I didn't even remember.
Okay, thanks, Bill, and everyone, I will see you next time. Bye-bye.